great tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, we welcome back Dan Boole, president of 65 Amps, and Frank Falbo, designer of the new Color Blender pedal. Dan has brought in his London amp and along with the new Color Blender pedal. We'll be checking that out today. Bender. It's the Bender. Flow Guitar Enthusiast is proudly sponsored by Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Pro Audio at sweetwater.com. And now here are your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. And we just want to wish all the vets living and passed on, thank you very much for serving and protecting us, our country. I want to thank everybody and all the vets that are alive. Welcome home. And the ones that are out there fighting right now, I hope they come back safe and sound as quickly as possible.
Amen.
We have a great show tonight. Things got a little mixed up today, but it's actually kind of good because we're going to see something now that we actually weren't expecting to see that's still in prototype. But
prototype that even the name is changing as I say it.
It's since you started the show.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. It was Blender 5 seconds ago.
We heard you say Blender and went, eh.
Now it's Bender, yeah.
But anyway, yes, Dan is here. We were originally going to have the Whiskey amp. We were going to show the new Whiskey amp, but I'm going to have Dan explain what happened, and then we originally were going to have the color boost. I'm getting confused. But now we have the color whatever it is.
Bender.
The Bender.
Yes.
So,
well, first off, hi, Jeff. Hi, Scott.
It's
nice
great
to see you guys again.
Yes.
And
yes,
I got my good friend Frank Falbo with me, who's working with 65 on these pedals.
Yes.
And but the Whiskey, sorry I couldn't have it here today. I had it at home. I was going to bring it over here. And I got a call yesterday from the guys over at Rafael Sadiq's studio in North Hollywood that said Eric Gale was recording over there and wanted to try one of my amps, to which I went, oh, my God, I love Eric. Can I meet him? Can I say hi? He's so cool. And I had the good fortune of going over there and hanging out with Eric for a while yesterday and just had my mind expanded with how great of a guitar player he is.
Yeah, he's a monster.
He's just insane. He just got off that Experience Hendrix tour. He was playing with Eric Johnson and all those guys. And I literally sat there slack-jawed watching him play, just like, oh, my.
My first introduction to Eric Gales was when I was – I'm near his age, but he had an album out when he was like 16 or 17.
Yeah, he's a child prodigy. Kind
yeah,
of
and I've loved him ever since. But yeah. I was cutting.
He's done a lot of interesting session work too.
Yeah, he's played with a lot of people.
If I'm correct, didn't he do the lead for Peg? I think he did the guitar for Peg for the
Steely
Dan. But I know
I think that might predate him. But yeah, it could be because he's only like he's in his late 30s, early 40s. Yeah.
Then I have the wrong
different Eric.
Right.
Yeah,
Eric.
Eric Gales.
I'm dating myself.
And not to mention that he turned out to be, you know, a really nice guy. And, I would, you know, while all of my artists are nice people, some are much nicer than others. And Eric was just fun. And it was cool because, you know, Rafael Sadiq has this huge studio in North Hollywood. And one of my absolute favorite moments in Grammy history in my entire life was when Mick Jagger did the Salute to Solomon Burke. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, after Solomon Burke died, and Rafael Sadiq's band was the one that backed him up while he did I Want You, 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 and Jagger owned the room, you know, just like completely showed all these young guys how to entertain, and that was Sadiq there. And when you walk into his studio, there's this giant high-res photograph of that moment where he and Jagger just totally, it was really fun.
That's cool.
Very neat.
So anyway, tell us.
Let's take a quick little break first, and then we'll bring them in and officially.
Yeah, I'm already ready to talk gear.
Something I said?
No. We need to make sure we pay homage to our good sponsors.
Yes.
Oh yes.
Okay. Here we go. We'll be right back.
Hi, Kenny Burgle here, one of the many guitar freaks at Sweetwater, happy to support the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Show. Check out our amazing Gear Fest coming to Sweetwater's headquarters in Fort Wayne, Indiana on June 6th and 7th. We'll have great guitar and audio guests like Billy Sheehan and Bruce Swedeen, among other greats like my friend and famous drummer Kenny Arnoff. It's all free. Just go to sweetwater.com. Also, about every manufacturer in the music industry will be on hand just to visit with you. Call us at 800-222-4700 to get more info on all the amazing workshops and clinicians. So dig this week's flow and don't forget to check out our Gear Fest at sweetwater.com/gearfest or call us at 800-222-4700. Thanks for listening. And this is Kenny Burgle with Sweetwater saying rock on with the flow.
Hey, this is Tracy Guns, and right now you are listening to the Flow Guitar Enthusiasts Show with Scott and Jeff and Andy and Tracy, and we're all here partying and going nuts. Anyways, this is the only guitar show I know of that you get to listen to guitar players and manufacturers talk about the cool stuff, and you can call in and talk to them, and you're going to have a good time.
Thank you, Tracy. We are back. Anyway, it's a great, again, it's a real pleasure to have you guys here
because
you guys always
us.
Have cool stuff.
And I haven't seen you in a while, too.
Yes.
It's great. It's very nice to be back.
Now, I know we're going to be showing the other amp. We don't have but I just want to mention everybody is the at the time of the NAMM, the whiskey was just ahead, right?
Yeah, and now we do a combo.
So you have a combo. Yeah. That's 50 watts?
Yes, it's a 112 combo. Two reasons we didn't have it at NAMM were A, we hadn't finished the cabinet, and we were also waiting on a Creamback 65 watt Celestion from Celestion to mm-hmm. come in. So I didn't have a proper way to show it. And nothing's worse than going to NAMM and showing vaporware and selling 30 of them. And then, excuse me, by March, all your dealers are mad at you.
And I just want to mention, too, the GearFest commercial that we played. You're going to be at GearFest.
I'm going to Indiana, man.
There you go.
I'm going to be there. It's Friday and Saturday out in the asphalt parking lot of Sweetwater in Indiana.
Right there in Fort Wayne.
Fort Wayne, y'all. And everyone's there. It's the most cool thing. And you know, Sweetwater guy, I don't know if you've ever been there, seen pictures of it. It's an operation on the scale like Amazon.com. You know, it's just amazing. And it just military ran, beautifully clean, modern, well-lit, computerized, automated facility. And, boy, they treat you like royalty when you come out.
And Scott was telling me, they have showrooms and stuff where you can go in. They actually have a place, like a storefront, right?
Yeah, they have a store there right when you walk in that's as nice or nicer than any music store I've ever been in. And that's really just for employees so they can get familiar with the gear. Since they don't have brick-and-mortar stores, you know, their sales engineers there, I think, go through 11 weeks of training before they can pick up a phone. Then they have all the gear that they sell. They have it in a store environment. So if some guy's getting a lot of calls about one of my amps, he can go in and play one.
Yeah.
So he has real experience. It's different, you know, for those guys because it's all a phone-based thing. So it's astonishing. And they're doubling the size of the place right now.
Yeah, the building's done. They just moved in. They have a brand new slide.
Oh, that's right. I saw that picture. Yeah. it's amazing.
Well, okay, let us talk a little bit about the color boost, the color bender, differences, and then let's show everybody what you have the color bender here. So
we have the bender prototype here. So for those of you that don't know like what germanium's all about, on the original distortion and boost pedals, germanium was the transistor of choice. And it had a lot of weaknesses in it, but it was readily available in the 60s. And it has a very classic nasally sound to it. And when you're looking for germanium transistors, you're looking for this thing that happens with them. And if there's a lot of records that you can point to that are very clearly germanium pedals, very early Led Zeppelin stuff. Think about the song "Bring It On Home." You know, that's a Tone Bender Mark II. You know, that's a Vox Tone Bender Mark II. If you're a ZZ Top fan on ZZ Top's first record, Brown Sugar, starts off with the slow blues. that's a Mark II Professional that he's playing there. It's a very distinct sound. So a lot of guys make germanium pedals that don't sound like germanium because they're not, they haven't played the old ones. And the old ones have this thing that they do. And it helps you jump out over a band. The other problem with germanium is they're notoriously inconsistent. So and they're heat sensitive. If you're playing out in the sun at a summer festival, your pedal's not going to sound that great. And if you get it too cold, same thing. So it's sort of like if you're uncomfortable, the pedal's uncomfortable. So people naturally went to silicon because it's a lot cheaper and a little more consistent. But you lost that magic of germanium. Mm-hmm. You know, all the Hendrix stuff was germanium. You know, that was a fuzz phase for the most part. And some Mark II tone bender. So we found a batch of about 10 to 12,000 of them, and we did test samples on them. They all come out amazingly consistent. Like, these were like cherry-picked transistors, and the guy who has them doesn't realize, I think, I'm not going to say who it is, doesn't realize quite what it is. And, you know, we bought 10, and they were all good. And we bought another 100, and they were all good. Now, I used to buy 200-300 of them in order to make 25 pedals. You know, our Color Boost has one transistor in it. And I used to buy, you know, sometimes 10 times what I needed to make sure that I could get 10 good ones. So we asked him how many he had, and he said, oh, I've got a little over 10,000. So we said, how much for the lot? So we're going to do a normal complement of germanium pedals. So the three biggest germanium pedals, the Color Boost is based off the old Dallas Rangemaster. Mm-hmm. And that's a treble booster that will distort. And that's, you know, earlier germanium stuff. Think about the John Mayall Blues record, you know, Blues Breaker record. That's a Rangemaster kind of sound. The one after that was the Fuzz Face, which is two transistors. And then the bigger one that goes absolutely nuts was the Tone Bender Mark II from Vox. And then they licensed it to Solasound and a few other people. The first Tone Bender is a Mark I, which had one transistor, and then they made a 1.5 that had two transistors, but it didn't really get much traction. It's the Mark II that now is one of the most valuable vintage pedals you can find. A good Mark II Tone Bender will sell for $2,000.
Wow.
And they're really hard to find. And so we thought we'd just jump on the opportunity, and Scott's here looking at it, and I guess you'll post pictures, but it's on the Color Boost and the Color Bender and the Color Face is our Fuzz Face one. They all have their own Facebook
page. Oh, you have you're coming out with a Color Face?
Yeah, and they all have their own Facebook pages, but you can see pictures of the construction. We build these with amp parts. So there's full-size resistors, full-size capacitors. We use the same hookup wire that we use. There's no printed circuit boards. I'm using, you know, high-quality Allen Bradley carbon comp resistors. And then in the power of things, we're using Vishay Dale 1% mil-spec resistors that are metal film. So we don't make them with computer parts like most pedals are made out of. So it's a little bit, you know, on the larger side, it's not huge. But that's also how all the pedals were made in the 60s. They didn't have quarter and eighth watt parts back then. So that's the long story. The short story is I'm a vintage guy, and I like these kind of wild distortion boxes that come from a time period. Jeff, I'm sure you remember this because we're similar age. When you were playing live, it was very unusual for the guitar to be mic'd.
Oh, yeah.
It was just vocals and snare drum and kick drum. You know, that was it. So when you're on stage, you needed a pedal like this to jump up over the band. And they were also designed back in a time when pickups were much less hot than they are now. Mm-hmm. And amps had much less gain than they have now. So with the Color Bender in particular, we have it set up in the stock configuration. So if you're playing a Strat with 6K pickups into a Plexi, which is not a high gain amp, even though they distorts really nicely, it works perfectly. But if you're playing a 12K humbucker into a Mesa Boogie, it's just insane amounts of gain. So we've got a set of switches on there where you can dial it back. And you can also adjust the mid-range notch on it to get a very specific sound that makes it sound even more germanium, gets a little more quack out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I was noticing, I was looking at your switch, I'm like, now where's the LED? Because he has a single throw with triple in there. But there it is. The 65 amps lights up. How cool is that?
And the pedal has our little Vinti vents on it that are on the amplifiers. So it lights up, and it actually looks like a little bitty 65 amp.
That's neat.
Isn't that cute?
That's neat. It's heavy. got some.
So those controls, you have a basically a gain control,
mm-hmm.
and then you have a, is that a sweepable filter range or is
no,
that...
no, it's just level and gain.
Level and
gain.
You
know, it's attack and sustain are what they were called on the original pedals, but it's really volume and gain.
Okay, and that's what the Rangemaster and the Tone Bender, that's basically all they have.
Yeah, well, on the Tone Bender, I mean, on the Color Boost, it's actually less. We just have a gain knob and then a four-position voice knob. The original Rangemaster had one knob on it and one little high-low switch. And that was it.
Oh, okay. Because we were talking a little bit about this before the show, and I was doing some research on the Rangemaster, the Tone Bender, and I brought one. Actually, I forgot that because I don't use this as much. I have a Germanium 44 tone booster, treble booster.
Right.
And it has a three filter, I guess, or boost settings.
It's probably just different caps, you know, to control the voice. But that one's using Vintage. Transistor, the OC44 Mullet transistor, which has been out of production for 40 years. So that's a different kind of animal there. We're using a transistor called an NTK275,
mm-hmm.
which for modern germanium is the primo ones. The OC44s are just not available anymore. They haven't existed for decades.
Yeah.
But the OC44 was one of the ones that Vox used when they were making different iterations of the Tone Bender. So that's one of the holy grail ones.
Well, I have a fuzz face I bought around 66, 67.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gray one. And it's much mellower sounding than my... I have a red one that I bought later that I ended up putting in a pedal board.
Probably silicon.
Yeah, it's just buzzy.
Well, fuzz faces were, for the most part, all NTK 275s.
Okay.
That's what they used on them. And... you know, that particular circuit, it's going for a particular sound, you know, the fuzz sound. But when you actually put it in more of an overdrive kind of circuit, it gets a very robust broad.
But they changed to a...
They went to silicon in the 70s,
Yeah.
So. Same reason everyone did. Germanium's just... Same reason guys started making solid-state amps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just germanium transistors are random as tubes. And as reliable as tubes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, more reliable than tubes, but less reliable than silicon. And they cost 10 times as much as silicon does. You know, silicon's pennies.
Okay. You know, So the difference between the pedals is the stages, the transistor mm-hmm. stages. So they're basically, each one's a little bit beefier, ballsier, with more gain and more distortion, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we're going out of order. We did the Color Boost first, which is one transistor. We skipped right to the hardest one, which is the Bender, which has three. And then the last one we're finishing is the Color Face, which has two.
Okay.
So.
Oh, why don't we take a listen to it? You want to go ahead and
sure. Now, we're playing through your little Quilter solid-state amp, which is a great sort of litmus test, because no one's going to be able to say, well, yeah, he was playing through the whiskey. Anything sounds good through that, right? You know, like the Quilter is a solid-state amp that's very unforgiving. It gives you exactly what you put back.
Yeah, but it's very flat, so you can get a...
Right.
You're getting an... And I just have to mention, when I talked to Dan on the phone, I said I wanted to try this, and he was like, that is totally cool, we'll do that, which I think shows... Yeah. That you have confidence in your product because you're totally cool.
What we're making is food here. There's no right or wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell most of the world that the Big Mac's going to kill you because they love it. But, you know, it's just food. There's no right or wrong. You know, and I'm sure we could have plugged Hendrix into your Quilter and he'd sound just like Hendrix.
That's true.
You know, so.
Well, let's take a listen to it. We got Frank on the guitar right now.
Sure. I mean, this is your clean sound. That's the clean sound coming out of the Quilter amp. If I switch on the Color Bender and I leave it in the stock setting, you can hear how much gain there is. The gain knob isn't even that high right now.
So you can hear how much gain that is.
Yeah, you're going to hear me switch the mics on and off because I want to get...
Yeah.
I want you to hear, so excuse me if I'm switching.
That's good.
But one of the things I wanted to say at the beginning of the show where we're setting up before the show, Scott comes up to me and goes, your mic's distorting. I go, no, that's the pedal.
It's a lot of gain. And, you know, it's... if you're not used to something like that, it can be a little daunting. It's, you know, like, here, I know you're great driving your Camry. Here's a Ferrari F1 car. Good luck. Yeah. It's a lot. It can really get away from you, which is, to me, exciting and fun. Mm-hmm. And gives you lots of vocabulary options. So it's a bit of an adjustment. I think for anyone under the age of 40, they're not going to be used to this kind of thing. But having said that, we put switches on there so you can bring it back down. You can play a JB Seymour Duncan pickup that's 16K or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. right into it,
yeah.
and it'll work fantastic.
So it all the pedals are basically gain and level?
Yeah, that's all they basically. Do back then. And we put extras on them. We try to ameliorate the pedals, you know, in a logical way, like give you some voicing options and some gain options so that you can...
What are the toggle switches on there?
Well, that's what changes the gain structure up front, and that's what makes this tone bender type of circuit more usable, really not just for today's players and today's gear, but just even more usable as a different kind of device. Like, you can use this almost as an overdrive unit that's in front of an amp that's already overdriven. And get all this germanium flavoring, you know, all the mm-hmm, seasoning, mm-hmm. right, in the soup, but without all that extra gain that you have that you're stuck with really with a bender. And so people have done that in the past. They've pulled some gain out of the circuit, but a lot of times they'll do it in such a way that just makes it a little bit more bland. It's a little more like you've turned your guitar's volume knob down. And so it just is a little more duller. There's a little more loading on it. And so we did it in such a way that it kind of opens up the highs and opens up the mids so that you get a little bit more clarity when you drop down to the lower gain setting.
So the settings don't shut off one of the transistor stages.
No.
It doesn't. They're always three. In this case, there's three.
Yeah.
So they're always on.
They're always on because that retains the flavor.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, if we took a transistor out, it wouldn't be a Mark II tone bender right. circuit anymore.
Okay.
You mind showing us the switches?
Sure, yeah.
Are the differences?
Yeah. So, I mean, if I'm doing the high gain setting, the regular setting, I mean, that's with the gain still down. If I crank the gain up, it's off the chart.
About modern guys using these kind of pedals for the youngsters out there, you know, Jack White and Dan Auerbach with the Black Keys, you know, these old germanium pedals are an integral part of their sound.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they're doing.
Yeah. So if I take the gain all the way down, but in the original setting, it's still this much. So now I'm going to throw this switch. You have a whole different pedal, basically. You've got a whole different gain, you know, stage. Now, that's still with the gain knob, or the tack knob, as it's mm-hmm. called on this type of pedal. Now, that's still with that all the way down. I still have room to bring that up and get that sort of cleaner sound, mm-hmm. but with a little more saturation. I'll show you that.
Yeah, it gets that kind of chunk. It reminds me a lot of like the Stones type of.
Exactly. Well, when you're playing it through a big, you know, a big amp, we're playing, just so you guys know, what is that, a 10-inch?
8-inch.
8-inch speaker in a radio studio. So
yeah.
When you play it through, you know, a 212 or 412, you're going to know that sound right away. And for guys our age, it immediately kind of makes the goosebumps happen.
Yeah, it's got that chunk to it, you know.
Right.
Well, that sound honestly reminded me a lot of ZZ Top, like you mentioned.
I mean,
he used a Champ, so that might be exactly why. He used an 8-inch.
That first record, there's a lot of Mark II tone bender all over it.
But, I mean, even with the little speaker, it's like a wall of sound right there. I mean, it's pretty monstrous.
Well, it's funny because in product development, I mean, you have to do all of this stuff. You have to do your due diligence, listen to things through all different kinds of things. Even though you know what your target's going to be, you know, you still have to sit and give it all these different litmus tests.
Right.
So you have to listen to it in headphones. You got to listen to it to really be able to dissect what's happening.
So, you play it through a cadre of amps at your house.
Yeah.
My house, there's a bunch of 65s. I've got a 1965 National with a 8-inch speaker in it. You know, like one huge volume knob in the middle. And I've got this amp that used to be a film projector. You know, it's a pair of 6V6s.
Oh, cool.
And totally just why it's dual single-ended. You know, it's not even a push-pull amp. So we try to do it through everything. And then when we take it down to the shop, you know, there's everything laying around there. Dave Friedman, you know, and I share space down there for part of our crew. And we'll run it through Dave's amps. Mm-hmm. And, you know, off the gain, I have a Wizard Modern Classic at my house, which is, you know, the heavy metal guy's dream
when
amp.
When you're using this pedal... Mm-hmm. Are you basically setting your amp as a clean amp and then using all the distortion from that, or are you really driving the other amp?
You do both. You know, to be honest, it works great if you put it on the clean channel and use it as your sound. But even when you're up on the gainy side of the amp and you kick that in on top of it, it just goes nuts.
Yeah.
And you know, you can barely just touch the guitar with your right hand and just get endless singing sustain. And it's an effect, you know. It's not a Marshall stack in a box, you know. It's an effect, and it's a really cool effect. But you got to kind of know what you're doing.
Yeah,
you know?
I was hearing. I was looking at the blogs about the treble, you know, the mm-hmm. what people were posting, and they used the they mentioned your pedal too specifically use to drive the Class 5. I have a Class 5, and
yeah.
and obviously
that'll really make it sound.
We have to have you back anyway, but I mean that's I'll bring that down.
Bring your we'll Class 5, and I'll have both pedals. And we can
try that because that's the hot tip for the get the Class 5 to sound get that big plexi sound at a recordable volume.
Yeah, I think I mean honestly, I would recommend everyone go to iTunes or go to YouTube right now and look up ZZ Top Brown Sugar. That is the sound of a Mark II tone bender, and that's exactly what this pedal sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
It's track one on ZZ Top's first album, and it's just Billy sitting there in front of a 100-watt. Super bass.
Yeah.
You know, with a Mark II tone bender playing blues licks and singing like he's an old blues singer. And then it kicks into a full song after that, which is clearly a hard edit.
Yeah.
But the beginning of it's just him, one mic in front of a thing, singing the blues.
But it's interesting. I want to note that Frank, when he was playing just right now, I was watching where he was putting the gain,
mm-hmm.
and he's got a lot more. I mean, he's not using a lot. He's using.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And it's just. You know, you can hear that amp is clean.
Yeah.
Right.
We're not he's not using any distortion from the Quilter.
Right.
And that thing is just like, it's just singing.
Yeah, but it doesn't, the thing about germanium versus silicone, so I know a lot of guys in their head right now are probably thinking, oh, okay, well, if he doesn't have it turned up, it must turn into a mess. Right. That's why he's not doing it. But if you have good germanium, you can go to just unthinkable levels of gain, and it doesn't get unmusical. You don't get odd order harmonics, which are the ones that bother us.
Right.
And you don't get massive amounts of compression.
Should we go for that?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, let's listen to the second voice mm-hmm. of the low gain setting, right? So when I was here, I had I've got sort of the cleanest of the two lower gain settings. Right? And when I throw the switch, now I got a second voice. And that's the one that's a little more nasal, a little bit more sort of...
Think Mick Ronson and Spiders from Mars. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah, so even on this lower gain setting, if I take that second voice and I bring up the gain, the attack knob, all the way, you'll see just how much is even on tap in the low gain setting. But then again, what we're listening for is like just how harmonically balanced it is, and it doesn't fall apart. It'll get chaotic.
Oh, yeah.
But not in such a way that is, and again, you know, it's the Quilter amp, it's the mics. We're not laying tracks here in the middle of a
virtual
studio.
We're playing at like 95 decibels.
But you'll hear, you'll hear how it sort of stays intact.
Go to the neck pickup with that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Big sustain. Yep.
And I thought I needed that sustainer that Nordic put in as Steve Blasgood. I don't need it with that thing.
No.
That thing is just holding it.
Yeah, add a little delay to that and you'll have Eric Johnson, I think.
Yeah, that's right. He's got a lot of germanium stuff in his rig.
Yeah, and we're still on that reduced setting. You know, so if you want to hear it off the rails, again, still through this amp, it behaves differently when it hits tubes. I mean, we know this, right? I mean,
yeah.
When
also,
you're hitting tubes on the front end, it's
with
a
single coils, too.
True, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and take a break. And then what I'd like to do during the break is why don't you switch to the tube amp?
Okay.
And then we'll try it and we'll play it with the tubes amp so people can hear the difference using pushing the tube stage.
There you go.
Okay, so we'll be right back. We're going to play this, the Mike Month for Sweetwater. They have a Mike deal coming on.
Oh, cool.
So check this out.
Sweetwater.
Hi, Kenny Burgle here with a word to the wise listeners of the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Show about Sweetwater's Mic Month. In May, we'll be giving away 31 great mics. It's absolutely free. Go to sweetwater.com to sign up. We'll be posting mind-blowing microphone deals daily. Find out more by calling your sales engineer at 800-222-4700. This is Kenny Burgle from Sweetwater, hoping you win a killer mic from us in May. Go to sweetwater.com any day in May, and good luck.
All right, everyone, you are listening to Jeff and Scott on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, and I'm Paul Reed Smith from PRS Guitars, and that's kind of what's going on. Enjoy the show.
Okay, we are back, and now we have switched over to the 65 amp. I'm going to bring the level down. What I'm doing, I'm sorry for switching you guys in and out so much, but I want to have...
Darn it, Jeff!
I want to get the mic, what you guys... Because we mic'd it so you can really hear the difference.
Right.
And these voice mics bring in the room a little bit too much, and it does color the sound. I want to want people to hear what
we're
going to
go... This is a London. This was our first amp we released, and this is actually one I built in my house like 12 years ago. And then I gigged with for a long time, and then it was resident at Jay Leno for about 5 years. So this amp was on the Tonight Show more than Betty White.
And who was the guitar player?
Oh, no, that was just the one of the bands that came in. They would just say, here, go play it. But I had artists on the Tonight Show. I shouldn't say it owning it like that. 65 had artists on the Tonight Show usually 2-3 times a month. And instead of just running back and forth over there, the guy that managed all their gear was a good friend of mine, Larry Dennison. And I just left it there. And if I needed to use it for a gig or for whatever, I could just run over and get it from Larry. So I just left it at the Tonight Show because I got tired of him calling me going, hey, man, would you mind coming over with some gear? Yeah. I'm like, hey, you got a big warehouse here. I'm just going to leave a couple here.
So, yeah.
And that amp got me a lot of business because a lot of artists came through the Tonight Show and said, whoa, you got a 65? Can I play that? And, yeah, sure. Here, go ahead. And then they'd call me after the show and go, can I come by the shop? Okay, so this amp is my dear old friend.
Okay, well, let's take a listen now. Now, let's hear a little bit of the clean sound
on
this.
Sure, this is the sound of the amp. So you can hear there's a little bit of dirt coming out of the amp. It's getting pushed just a little bit, and that's what sort of sets us up to be able to push it even harder and hear how the pedal takes it, you know, over the edge, right?
Okay.
Shall I?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm gonna start with a lower gain setting on this thing, and then we'll just work our way up to total chaos and mayhem, right?
Okay. That really totally sounds like you're just pushing your power stage to.
And that's an 18 watt amp that's on 2.5.
Yeah,
it's 18 watt. And what speaker is that? Two speakers or one?
Yeah, there's a G12H30 and an Alnico Blue.
Alnico Blue.
That's my little mix that I like to do in my low power amp. So, but you can tell when you're running it through tubes,
you know, right away, it sounded quite a bit much more like an old record.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just it's a Les Paul. We're plugged straight in through this pedal. There's nothing else going on.
Right.
And a pair of EL84s. And it's a single gain stage on this amp, so the amp itself is not doing a whole lot of coloration. You're just getting tubes.
Right.
So.
So now I'll switch it to voice two, which is that little more nasally aggressive voice, still in the lower gain setting. And I'll sweep through some of the gain range. I'll start with it low and kind of bring it up higher.
Okay.
Just for reference, turn the pedal off again to remind people right. what our bass line is.
All right.
So the amp is in normal mode. It has a little bit of clip to it.
Just a little texture on the top.
Yeah. And it's at and then he's just adding so much more. One of the guys was they've been talking about you know, Eric Johnson in our chat room about Eric Johnson needs to hear this pedal. And they were saying, Eric says it can't screw with the original tone, but this is an effect. This is a specific right. sound. It's not really just an overdrive.
It's kind of shaded. Exactly. I mean, you know, this is a vintage sounding Les Paul, and it still does. When he goes to the neck pickup and is playing, you know, those kind of blues rock,
right.
licks, it sounds like a Les Paul. It's, you know, it's not. And when same thing, I should have brought a Strat. Maybe we'll do that next time.
You could try the Tele.
Yeah, we'll do your Tele, too. I mean, when you bring a Strat in, man, it's a Strat. All five positions.
Yeah,
you know, right. it's not... it's... Well, I'm trying to be diplomatic here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pedals that are out there that are the salve for everything that makes guitar playing difficult. And it will make every guitar sound about the same and every amp sound about the same. This isn't one of those pedals. This is a pedal right. that's going to ameliorate what you have. It's going to make your rig sound.
Yeah, and this isn't like really that. Meant to be like, for example, an LPB-1, which is just a straight amp booster.
Yeah, it's not a Klon.
Yeah.
You know, or right. something like that.
I used to use a Hawk preamp that had a 3-band, and I used to use that to overdrive my Fender amps.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was great, but it was basically a high fidelity. It just boosted everything flat. It wasn't affecting the tone that much unless I EQ'd
right.
it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, aside from what the geraniums are doing and the voicing caps and whatnot, I mean, it is a straight through, meaning there's no tone stack in there. There's not a treble knob. There's not a bass boost.
We're not reducing any of the inputted signal frequencies
right.
at all.
Yeah.
What's going in is what's going out.
Right.
I mean, what amazes me with it is the chunk, as I could call it.
Yeah.
It's just got that percussive attack to it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the things that I found when I was using fuzz tones in the studio, including the fuzz face, it just didn't have that type of sound.
Right.
You know, it was great for leads, and it blended well. It kind of compressed.
Mm-hmm.
But to get that articulation, which a tube amp cranked.
Right.
And especially your amps get that articulation. When you push the tubes, it just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's that sound, you know?
That's right. We like to put tubes under distress.
Right.
It's amazing, though. You put them under distress, but...
In a
your
nice
amps
way.
Are the coolest amp.
Yeah.
Literally, and I don't mean that as a...
Right.
I mean, yes, they are cool, but I mean, literally, they don't heat up.
Yeah, they're not. It's not. The amp's not doing anything dangerous at all. But, you know, there's two kinds of ways to push things. You can push them like an overseer with a whip and a shotgun, or you can push them like a football coach would. So, you know, come on, boys.
Yeah. What value is that?
That's a yeah. point. That's a 0.022.
It is. Okay. Fair enough.
So, what other components in there besides the germanium as those transistors as the prime thing?
Right.
Anything else in there that makes it special?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I was mentioning earlier, we build these with the same parts we use in our amps, and I think you know you guys have looked inside my amps. You know, I go a little bit further than most with the quality components in there. So we have, you know, the Sozo coupling caps in there, which are fantastic copies of the old mustard caps, only now they're made actually a little better. In the tone path, we use Allen Bradley carbon comp resistors, which are the holy grail of tone resistors. The secret sauce of all the old vintage amps are whether they used Allen Bradley resistors. They're very expensive, and they're kind of hard to find, but we have enough that we can do pedals and amps with it. Outside of the tone path, I use Vishay Dale 1% mil-spec metal film resistors, which, as far as I know, are the cleanest sounding resistors in the world. Also the most consistent. And, you know, the jacks and the switches and the hookup wires and even the board material that we use in here is the same stuff we use in the amps.
Yeah, Scott took some pictures, and we'll post those up on the site. And, but that thing is heavy duty.
This is a proto. So, you know, the production models will be a little bit cleaner.
Yeah.
But then also on the inside of it, I don't know if you can see in here, this element that has the backing screen on our grills, it's actually a huge aluminum plate in there, which is a giant RF shield.
Oh, okay.
Because germanium can be noisy. It can be rather antenna-like. So we're trying to, this thing is living in a crypt. When we close this pedal up, it's a little nice RF crypt.
Now, you mentioned that germanium transistors were really sensitive to temperature.
Yes.
Do you have any, when you were building this, did you have issues with the heat? How do you?
We had a couple funny stories. We'd forgotten that they're so sensitive. And, you know, we'd make a quick mod on the pedal with the soldering iron on the board.
Whoops.
And then plug it back in and go, oh, man.
Yeah.
We messed it up. Frank and I sit there one time for 15 minutes going, God, what do we do? Check every lead.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man. And it was like end of the day and the building was closing down. We had to hurry up. And
why is it different?
He goes, I'll just take it home. Right. And he goes home, and of course it cools down from the soldering. And he plugs it in. He calls me and goes, dude, it's perfect.
Amazing.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And it'd been, you know, this is 60s stuff, you know. And we both at one point went, oh, right.
Yeah.
It's germanium. And so he put it in the freezer. Go ahead and tell the rest of the story.
I've done the heat, the hair dryer and the freezer test, you know, and basically under normal circumstances, it'll come back to, you know, temp within, you know, 5 minutes or something like that. So if it was in your hot car or something like that, by the time you play your first song, you're probably okay. But it does change. And, you know, there are some things that people will do to try to, quote, unquote, fix that as well.
Some people
know?
Put, like, heat sinks on them.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, or they'll get into the circuitry and try to make something that can, you know, slide the bias around or things like that to sort of compensate. And, you know, the motto that I go by sometimes when I'm dealing with some of this vintage gear is, you know, stop helping. Right? I mean, you don't always have to fix everything. Mm-hmm. Let's make it amazing, because the problem is when I've played devices that have been fixed, they sound fixed, right?
I mean,
it's like your favorite old pair of blue jeans, and someone said, I repaired all the holes, and I did this, and I put this back, and I tightened this up, and, you know, shortened this, and it doesn't fit right anymore.
You take your eye off the ball sometimes when you're doing that, because you're designing for a secondary quality. You know, like, I've heard a lot of, like, noiseless pickups that are great, and then I've heard a lot of noiseless pickups, boy, they're dead quiet. But it doesn't sound like a Strat anymore.
Yeah.
But the guy goes, oh, my God, but it's so quiet. Listen, there's no hum. I'm like, okay. But, but I've heard some that are flawless and they sound great. And I think that's when you're in engineering phase, you take your eye off the ball. So we want to, you know, I have the 65 vents on here. I mean, come on.
Right.
Those are cool. Yeah. I think it'd be kind of interesting to actually take that
vents.
Pedal. And.
Yeah.
But, Frank, let me ask you, is there anything you can do to keep the transistor, a heat sink or something? Is there anything that can work?
It's actually not that sensitive.
Yeah.
It's not extreme. Like I said earlier, I mean to cut you off. I'm sorry,
that's
Frank.
Fine.
But, you know, if you're playing in Phoenix and it's 110 degrees outside and your pedal board's in the sun, yeah, it might get a little fuzzier than normal. But it's just like you would treat your animal. If you're uncomfortable, your animal's uncomfortable. So we were talking about when we had a
800-degree soldering iron on it.
Yeah.
You know, so normal, you'll notice a difference when it's 100 degrees outside versus when it's 70 degrees outside, but it's not like one's bad, one's good. You'll just notice it's a hair different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, like I said, if you as a person are pretty reasonably comfortable, it's fine. And the things that you could do, I mean, in a pedal that's this size and laid out this way, there's a lot of free air that's inside the pedal. So really it does take a lot to get this thing warmed up from the outside. Again, in your hot car, on your pedal board, right in direct sunlight, yeah, that will eventually heat up the chassis. But it's actually pretty good as far as performing, you know, throughout different temperature inversions.
For those guys that are playing live all the time in those outdoor arenas, you have to make a chrome one so that it reflects.
Yeah, a mirror coating.
I talked to a great friend of mine named Christian. He's a fuzz face and fuzz nut, and he has all this stuff. And he's got, he's got a silicone fuzz that he just parks in his gig bag in the event that he just absolutely has to pull it out. Because, you know, it's the same reason you might have that, bring that one guitar, or you bring that one solid state amp in case you blew a tube or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, that's what he does. He's got, you know, dozens of fuzz pedals, but he'll always just keep one silicone around. Just in case.
Emergency.
Yeah, just in the emergency that, you know, the thing completely shuts down. Because, you know, if it's truly sub-zero or if it's, like I said, a hairdryer, you know, blown straight at it, then the sound kind of goes away. It actually gets quieter than Unity Gain. While it's doing that, there's a whole lot of awesome, fun sounds to be
had. Yeah, like I said, it doesn't sound bad. It just gets different.
Yeah, I mean, you listen to some old Hendrix recordings of outdoor live gigs, and the sound is changing. I mean, you can hear things sort of change throughout the gig, and you can tell they're all temperature-based.
Yeah.
You
know? Now, another thing I heard on the internet boards, especially with, like, the Germania and some of the other tone boosters, is that when you use the battery, it's noisier. Have you encountered that problem with the, or it doesn't matter either way?
The only thing I've noticed is if your pedal is noisy to begin with, the circuit is noisy, which is normal for germanium pedals. It's noisier with an alkaline battery than it is with a non-alkaline battery. And
why is that?
I have no idea why. I've actually witnessed it.
Yeah, I've heard that. People have said that.
I've heard a lot of guys say, oh, never use alkaline batteries in pedals, and it's just some sort of common voodoo, but I've actually experienced that, especially with germanium. But also, a lot of people like to run germanium pedals on a battery instead of a consistent power supply because the little bit of sag in there gives you some elasticity in the pedal. And then also, just one last tip, if you are using a germanium pedal, you buy one from us especially, and you have a buffer on your pedal board, you need to run this before the buffer. Because the secret of the germanium circuit is that impedance relationship with the pickup.
Yeah.
And so if the germanium doesn't have a big magnet at the other end of the cable, it gets really thin. And so you just, you know, like a wah pedal, that's a germanium wah pedal, you have to run those.
So that would be the first thing in the...
Yeah.
In the, right.
The only thing you'd want to put in front of this would be a germanium wah. But other than that, you want to have this first. And this is true bypass.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So, and then, you know, a lot of guys, if you've got more than 6 or 8 pedals, a lot of guys will have a buffer on there.
Yeah.
Yep.
You just want to run it before.
But you're talking about a germanium. What about a regular wah, like a Crybaby or something like that? Put that in front of it?
If it's germanium-based, the real Crybabies were germanium. They had a germanium transistor in them. So,
but all your flanger, phasers, all that stuff.
Doesn't matter. You can go after the buffer. Yeah.
So, Dan, we have a question from the thing from our chat room asking.
Hi, chat room guy.
When do the pedals go on sale?
Well, good question. The Color Boost is available right now. We're mildly backordered on them. We've had a great response to it, and we're very grateful for that. And we're trying to make them as fast as we can. The Bender is technically in production now. I'm just waiting on housings. So I think we'll actually be able to start shipping these in about 3 weeks. But the boards are being, you know, we're actually starting to put things together.
Right, and where now. Are they available? Sweetwater or through your show website?
Sweetwater. We don't sell anything direct. Oh. I want my dealers to do all the heavy lifting for me.
That's good.
We both make more money that way. I don't want to be greedy and just take a little on the side. I throw it over the fence to these guys, and
I have dealers like Sweetwater, of course, but like here in town, there's True Tone. Mm-hmm. You know, Rudy's in New York. We try to, you know, Chicago Music Exchange. These are the top-notch stores where the pros and the enthusiasts go to shop. And we'll have gear. They're in all those stores. But if you go on our website, there's a ton of dealers. If you're in Europe, you know, Peach Guitar is our distributor in the UK. And in Scandinavia, it's vintageguitar.norway. In France, we have Guitars Rebellion. Our friends in Mexico, very close. We have a huge following on Facebook from Mexico. So Guitar Gear has three stores mm-hmm. in the biggest cities in Mexico. So,
well, when do you think the face will be up?
Realistically, what is today? End of May. I would say hopefully you'll see it by mid-July.
You know, oh, could wow, be, that fast. Okay.
Could be faster. Well, we've already built it. We just haven't had time to focus on it to get it into production.
And so, what's the suggested list for all of these?
So the Color Boost is 225. The Color Bender is going to be 289. And the Color Face is going to be somewhere in between there.
Okay. And I just want to let everybody know, on Facebook, look up Color Boost by 65 amps.
Also, I got to interrupt you. We spell color the British way.
Yes, these are all British. C-O-L-O-U-R. He had told me that on
Couleur,
the phone.
Yes.
Couleur. And then the Color Bender, all of these, I just checked. They're all on the site, on Facebook, so you can check them out besides his normal 65 mm-hmm. amps site and the website. But they're, you're building the site right now. I saw there was a link to the Color Boost.
Yeah.
But it's not working.
It's not active yet.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
And then also, I play this on my weekly web show, you know, Wednesdays at noon on Ustream. We've been playing the Bender almost every week now for a few weeks. And so that, and we post all those videos on the Fans of 65 Amps mm-hmm. Facebook page and on my personal Facebook pages as well. So if you want to check out some recordings of it already, there's a few out there.
And then, Frank, can you give us your information?
Sure, yeah. There is FallibleGuitars.com. I make guitars as well.
We didn't even get to talk about it. Oh, astonishing guitars.
Not a problem.
Well, but, it just means we're just going
to
bring you back.
I'll be happy to come back.
He's a show in himself. Honestly, I'm so fortunate to have Frank helping me out on this project because I just had no spare time whatsoever. But his guitars are a true... not revolution in what's going on with acoustic guitars. And I don't say that lightly. And when he explains it to you, you're going to be, oh my Lord,
we definitely have to go through the guitar. Yeah. We have to check that out.
So I highly recommend you just have him for a show on his own.
Well, thank you.
It's great. Yeah.
So Falbo Guitars, Falbo Designs is on Facebook. And then sometimes Falbo Designs will talk about some of the things we're doing with 65 amps.
Yeah. We work together on a lot of stuff.
These guys are very good about posting stuff pretty quickly. When things are happening, if you follow their Facebook pages, you hear. That's how I heard about your pedal.
Oh yeah, we're social media nerds, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, so speaking of social media, so next week we have Bobby Oswinski or
Oswinski.
I'm totally butchering it. I'm going to have to get that
clock
right.
Out, Scott. You're fired.
I'm done. I know. He's on next week, but he wrote the book Music 4.0, which is all about social media.
Yeah,
and
I'm
music
reading
business.
That right now. It's pretty.
Oh, really?
He's really hip, and he's basically telling how the industry's changed and how you survive in it now.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
And just want to remind everybody, June 16th, Billy Sheehan and Richie Kotzen in studio.
Nice. Whoa. Yes, that's going to be fun. Guys, thank you so
much.
It's just a pleasure. And Frank, it's a pleasure meeting you. Obviously, we're coming back.
Yes.
And
to be continued.
To be continued. And I'm bringing the Class 5 when you have the Color Boost.
And I'll bring the whiskey in this time as well.
Yes. So. And we didn't talk about the whiskey tonight because I really want to talk about it when we have it in studio.
Yeah.
So we're going to have Frank take us out. Everybody have a great end of your holiday.
And make sure you see Dan at Gear Fest at Sweetwater.
That's right.
That's right.
Come to Indiana, baby.
And this is full Bender, full gain. So we're going to break some of the paint's coming off the walls.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Thank you, everybody. Have a great, great week.
Cheers, everybody.
All right.